Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
All right, everybody. Good afternoon and welcome. Not exactly 4 o'clock. Actually, it's 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock Friday afternoon. It's the Ron Kelly Show with our wayward co-host, Mayor Wayne Smith, who I believe might be here today. Oh, he is here. Okay. All right. Good. Wonderful. Hello, everybody. This is the Ron Kelly Show. Yeah. It's the Ron Kelly Show today featuring Mayor Wayne Smith, Irvington, New Jersey. Greetings, Mr. Mayor. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir.
Doing well.
I had a little surprise birthday party. It really surprised me. It took me out of the house. Look, I got to be back by 6 o'clock. Man, they had me way out there in Bergen County somewhere with no phone. You know, my wife called for maybe.
We're going to have a talk with Mrs. Smith.
It was the goddaughter.
Oh, okay. All right. A good time is had by all. That's good. All right, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the program. Good to see you guys back here once again. The Ron Kelly Show featuring Mayor Wayne Smith is back. Yours truly, Ron Kelly, in the air chair for you this afternoon. Doing it well, everybody. We got a great show lined up for you. We'll expect 35th District Assemblywoman Shabonda Sumter, Democrat from New Jersey. She'll be here in just a little while, and she's going to talk to us about the budget cuts, Mayor Wayne. Now, I read a little bit about that earlier. It's actually what prompted me to bring her onto the program about the budget cuts district.
Yeah, which prompted her to also say, because of that, she might jump in the gubernatorial race.
Yeah, which is going to be really interesting because you know who, whether he wins. Well, you know, he's not going to be. Christie is not going to be a president. Let's put that on the table. Christie is not going to be president. That's a sure thing. As a matter of fact,
I kind of agree with you this time.
Yeah, he's not going to be. And none of the, the thing about it too, Mayor Wayne, is none of the. The crowded field, 9-10 so far, people, Bobby Jindal, you can forget it. They just about all of them. The only one that has a real shot is anyone with the name recognition, which would be in person of Jeb Bush. And he's probably the only one, he's probably going to wind up being the GOP candidate. Once the smoke clears and all the other, Lindsey Graham and the rest of the losers, wander off back to what they were doing in the first place. I believe me. And that's the reason why the GOP, guaranteed GOP loss, is because, they're going to have to embrace a path to citizenship.
I think there's some in their party that are trying to get them there, but if they're going to survive as a party, and we had this discussion 2 weeks ago, I think every group that wants to survive politically makes those adjustments, even though it seems difficult for the GOP. They will, and I'll tell you, I think you're right. Their only hope at a shot at the presidency this time is with Jeb Bush. It's interesting. I was reading earlier before the show, Ben Carson's campaign going through a little reorganization struggles right now. Even though he doesn't have a shot, I thought it's interesting that he's in the race. Great
loser.
Great position. Maybe not my choice in politics, though.
No, loser. He's a loser.
See, because
they lost. The GOP, as I said, they're never going to seated White House living quarters unless they visit. They're going to see it because they've lost touch with the American people. They've lost touch with what's going on in the world right now. And you listen, and I listen to conservative radio a lot, but you got to know what the enemy is thinking about. And I listen to them a lot. And, you know, and we can't, this isn't the Leave It to Beaver, you know, happy days, period. Those days are over, you know. And we're not there anymore.
Happy days left. Not happy days, the show, but I hope we have some happy days left.
Yeah, there are, right, there are some happy days, but, you know, those days, Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best, those days are over with. That's the past. And GOP seems to think that we can go back to that. We're not going to be able to go back to that. You know, we've got transgender, and there's a lot of things going on, abortion. These things are part of the American fabric, if you will. And they're just not going to change. And GOP is going to have to do a complete reversal of its previous. They're going to have to do a complete reversal of their previous positions. Otherwise, they're never going to, you know, they're never going to make it. It's just not going to happen. And again, like everybody, we'll talk to Woman Siobhan something. Also, Mayor Wayne, we're going to talk about this notion of what the conservatives are saying about crime. You know, going out in Baltimore, New York City, and et cetera, there's an uptick in crime. I talked to Norm Layden. I kind of tweeted Norm Layden. Norm Layden does talk at ABC, WABC 77 in the morning, 5 a.m., 6 a.m. And, you know, it's just ridiculous that they're going to say, like, well, for example, what they're saying is stop and frisk, you know, because there's no more stop and frisk. That's why crime is going up. It's not true. Not true, because only a fraction, I mean, out of the 600,000 people that were stopped last year, they only took 400 guns off the street. 400 guns. And we all know there's a lot more than 400 guns in the city of New York, a city of 8.5 million people. You know, so they're blaming, so what they're saying is that the police officers, like in Baltimore, for example, the crime rate has gone up high. In the crime gone up. I mean, Baltimore is a dangerous place. And they're saying that the police officers are afraid to do their jobs. This is the latest excuse. Police officers are afraid to do their job. Police officers should be afraid to do the wrong thing, but they shouldn't be afraid to do the right thing. So this is more, more of the same, more double talk, more three card money, more shell game that the GOP is once again, and they're very good at it. If you don't watch yourself, they're very bad. So we're going to talk about that and a whole bunch of other things this afternoon on the Ron Kelly Show. It's June 5th, 2015, George Truman Ron Kelly, along with Mayor Wayne Smith. And we will be talking in just a few minutes to Assemblywoman Siobhan Sumter, Democrat from New Jersey, 35th District. And we'll talk to her about the budget cuts and a possible governor's run. And I think that she'd be a great, I think she'd make a good governor, Mayor Wayne.
All right. I've known her for a number of years, both in the private sector and in the public sector, so she's certainly a competent individual. I don't know if she would want that headache. And I think the budget cuts, and we'll ask her when she gets on with us, may be even deeper, because if they make up this pension money that they have to, they're already in June in the budget. I think their budget year runs from it's either July 1 to June 30th, or if they're on the federal system, it starts in September. So they don't have enough year left to make up the money, and that's what the governor was complaining about. But if they do, they're going to do some drastic cuts. The other thing I'd like to ask her about is this whole fight over whether or not they're going to have casinos in what part of the state other than Atlantic City, and will that be on the ballot in November?
No, it's going to have to be the casino. The proposed casino by the Hard Rock Cafe people are proposing to build a casino in the Meadowlands, which is, how many years have passed with promise after promise and suitor after suitor, developer after developer coming in and proposing something and it not working out.
Yeah, there's another proposal for a casino in Jersey City where the developer has committed, what I understand, tremendous number of resources there. And then the latest, I think it was yesterday or today, there's going to be a press conference in Newark with Mayor Baraka and the county exec. I don't know where this report, they've been hush-hush, but they announced that they will be having a press conference next week with Assemblyman Caputo, who is one of Assemblywoman Sumter's colleagues and is very active on that casino legislation. He used to be a casino executive. He actually represents where I live in the legislature. They're talking about something for Newark now. So everybody's giving up. Central Jersey jumped in it. I think it was Senator Bob Gordon announced that they want Central Jersey. I don't know where they would put it, but I don't know where Newark would put it. I'm sure there's land in Newark. I mean, they may put it where Bear Stadium is. I don't know. Haven't heard anything, but they announced, I think, on the 10th of next week that they're going to have a proposal that they want to be considered as well. So it's going to be a mad dash to November to see if New Jersey gets other places, because they have to amend the Constitution to allow it other than, and they have to do it by a vote of, you know, on the ballot. So the only place authorized is Atlantic City here in New Jersey. So it's going to be an interesting debate and discussion. You know, maybe Patterson will jump in and have a casino by the Great Waterfalls.
No. I didn't want to send anyone Sumter to hear that, because she represents that area. But I think that the, you know, when you consider putting things in Newark, you have to consider the safety factor and what people are going to think. For example, like the Prudential Center was a major success. They rolled the dice with that, and it was, is, and will be, you know, a successful venue, because you know, you have all types of big names coming there. And people are gone.
You have the Prudential Center and you have NJ Pack. Both have done what I believe is relatively well. And so Newark's location, because literally they can come in from New York on that train and literally walk almost across the street. So they don't really have to go anywhere else. I mean, you know, it's interesting. And even technically, even NJ Pack is not that far from Penn Station. So very interesting. I always said I'm a native Newark. I was born and raised in the city. And I always said that downtown Newark would always take care of itself. The corporate community would make sure of that. It's, you know, it's the neighborhoods, I think, that, and I see Mayor Baraka very focused on that. Because when I grew up in Newark, you didn't go downtown to shop. You shopped in your neighborhood. You shopped on Springfield Avenue. You shopped on Bergen Street. You shopped on Lyons Avenue, Chancellor Avenue, those places. And so, and they employ people from the neighborhood. And that's where I think you get your bump at, if you're able to develop those corridors, because downtown will always be fine. Newark is so strategically located that I don't think, at least from the years that I've been around, I don't think the downtown have to worry too much, but it's the neighborhoods that is the real challenge.
Well, the downtown does need downtown Newark can use an upgrade, because many of the stores there are low-end, you know, cheap, should I say, discount merchandise. I don't want to use the word cheap in case our listeners from Newark or Newark Essex County area to get upset with me. But the Newark area, the downtown area definitely needs an upgrade. See, that's one of the problems. Everybody waiting for Assemblywoman Shavonda Sumter, Democrat, New Jersey, the 35th District, to call into the program. She should be with us shortly. But in the meantime, you know, see, this is the problem with, urban areas. It's just the stores, the big box stores, just don't come to areas. Look at Patterson, of course. You mentioned Patterson earlier, and Patterson has an indoor mall.
Yeah, I know. I actually know the guy, Nick Tapasaris, who's a partner in it, who did the architectural work. Is an Irvington guy. I grew up in Irvington. I went up because we have a mall being built here in Irvington right now. A project started under my administration that has continued to go. They had $12 million. They they're struggling with the retail stores. And I think part of that is the consumer, we're quick to make sure that we go out to the malls and export our money to other places. And we kept our money in our pocket and demanded retail stores come here. And I think you see a shift. We've got to figure out a way to make that demand. You know, it's just the reality. I was reading today the Willowbrook Mall is going through a major overhaul over the next 2 years. So they're trying to spruce that place up. But we still go there. They didn't say nothing about closing it down. They just said they're going to spruce it up.
Well, see, that's the thing. See, you know, I mean, let's keep it real here, Wayne. The reason why people want to go to Irvington or North is because of crime. You hear about people getting killed. You hear about, you know, you read and hear about people getting murdered in Irvington and in North. You hear about the carjackings. People just don't want to come to these areas. The only way to fix this is to bring that crime rate down or at least get it manageable under control, because people go to Wayne, they don't think about getting carjacked or robbed, because it's highly unlikely when you go to places like that that you will be carjacked or robbed. But when you go to Irvington, the chances of, or Newark, you know, no disrespect to you or Tony Buss, when you go to these areas Mayor Ross Rocker, but when you go to these areas, I mean, you know, your antennas are going to go up because, hey, look, self-preservation is one of the basic instincts of us all. And when you go into an area where murders and carjackings are committed on a daily basis, I mean, people are not going to want to go there. That's just the bottom line. And retailers are not going to want to go there because they want middle class folks. They don't want people, they don't want poor people. They want middle class folks with credit cards to come into these places to spend money. And middle class folks, just like middle class folks, are not going to go into these areas for fear, and not just white folks, but blacks too, for fear that they could have their property taken. I mean, look at that mall in Patterson, for example. It's a nice place, but there's no stores there. You got Payhap, and low end Payhap. You know, the other place. I mean, you know, all of the stores in that mall are low end. And of course, you're going to have the telephone people. The telephone people are everywhere. AT&T, T-Mobile, they're everywhere. That doesn't matter. Marshall. I mean, big deal.
Huh?
Big deal. You know, Marshall.
It's a prominent retailer. It's a very good retailer. And, but I'll tell you, everybody that lives in urban communities in Patterson and Irvington and Newark, you got a middle class there.
And so, they go elsewhere, and they go somewhere else.
They go somewhere else because they can't get what they want. You know, if we were to organize ourselves and keep our money, the other thing is we should be opening up stores ourselves in these neighborhoods that present the type of quality that we do. So the other people are opening up. So if I begrudge, you know, no one, but you got people who are replicating how we cook chicken and fish. They come from around the world. Now, when I grew up, Miss Stewart in Newark got rich. Her son actually followed her in the business and opened up a place called John's Place and did extraordinarily well. He just recently closed. So we have to look at these places as communities of opportunity because other people do, and they're making money. Now, the point is how do we figure out how to bring quality merchandise if we did it ourselves? Because, so, for instance, the young lady that owns the IHOP in Irvington, I convinced her to buy an existing diner that had been there probably 40 years. She bought it. I said, listen, try to do an IHOP here. She listened to me. She got the deal done. She's bringing her second IHOP in that mall in Patterson right next to PSE&G. So that thing should be open within the next month or so if it's not already open. I recently saw her at the groundbreaking of the hospital while I was married, and we sold her. So, I mean, it is our frontier. It is the Wayne Smiths and the Ron Kellys and others, the Siobhan Sumters, that have to take these opportunities in these cities and make something out of them. And that's our charge. And if we don't, other people will. They, listen, people thought, you know, that they would even bring a mall to a place like Patterson. They did. And eventually, that thing will turn. The Valley Fair Plaza, the guys put up $12 million cash. They didn't even go to borrow money. They knew it was going to be hard to get money. And they're struggling. And we've got some, one of our significant eye doctors is going to put a very nice place in there. You had some other retailers that actually had some businesses in Irvington that are going to go in there. So the question is to challenge the national retailers, because we advocate, if you look at what people are wearing, whether they're middle income or not, they're buying it from the major retailers. And we often are not. You look at the suburban rim, the malls, say, for instance. So I mentioned Willowbrook Mall. I think they probably have a significant population that comes there from Patterson. I know they have a significant population that comes from Irvington and Newark. But then you'll see people who may not be in the income bracket up at Short Hills Mall. And they're spending money, they're buying the name. But my wife runs a blog called Dazzling in Style, where she is educating people how to do affordable fashion. And you want to flare. You can still look nice, still look fashionable, but you don't have to have every designer in the world's clothes on. And you know, I went with her to. We talked about this because I wanted to. We wanted to kind of, you know, shift some of our conversation a bit. So they had this woman who was on Atlanta Housewives who's now doing these seminars called The Art of Style. And she was saying the same thing. First of all, many people can't afford to buy these designers. I'm one of them who can, but I don't want to spend all my money on clothes. So, I mean, you know, it's really where we see the challenge. There's really a major opportunity for us to reform the urban landscape, and if nobody else is going to do it, it's really up to the people that are there. But in every community in the state that is urban and has challenges, you've got a solid middle class there.
Well, you know, but then you want options. You know, you definitely want options. You know, you want more options in the market. We'll take a break. We'll take a break. Don't disrespect the barge. Oh, heck with it. I don't want a shopping barge. We'll take a break and we'll come right back. with 35th District Assemblywoman Siobhan Sumter, Democrat from New Jersey, and the rest of the show. It's the Ron Kelly Show, featuring Mayor Wayne Smith, and we're on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, absolutely. Yes, indeed. We're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Mayor Wayne Smith is here with me today. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us this afternoon. We have a very special guest, the Honorable Assemblywoman from the 35th District of New Jersey, Democrat, Siobhan Sumter. Good afternoon, Assemblywoman. How are you?
Good afternoon, Ron. Good afternoon, Mayor Smith. Thank you so much for having me.
Delighted to talk to you.
We just big fans. I'm a big fan of Assemblywoman Sumter. I'm a huge fan. No disrespect to Mr. Sumter, but I'm a huge huge fan.
Thank you.
Let me get that out of the way. I guess congratulations are in order. Congratulations are in order today.
Yes, I need to say thank you to all those who voted in the primary on this past Tuesday. So I'm very, very elated and privileged to serve as the Democratic candidate again for the Assembly for the 35th District.
And Assemblyman Wimberly as well. You're running. Yeah. I don't want to say running mate, but how do you call that?
Yeah, that's a running mate.
No, we call each other teammates.
Teammates.
Right,
okay.
Right. There
that
you go.
We are
yeah.
a team. We do more
yeah.
than just run together.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you: are there some before I move on to what your issues are with the tax cuts, the funding cuts? Is there someone from the other side, from the GOP, running against you in Assemblyman Wimberly?
Yes, there is. Actually, there's a Republican candidate. I'm not sure which organization, regular Republican organization or a different one, because they have their own feud going for our area. But we do have two candidates running against us on the Republican side.
Oh, boy. More Lindsey Grahams and Bobby Jindals who don't really stand a chance.
These times we can't afford it right now.
Absolutely not, especially with the presidency. Before you know it, we'll be running to the boots, and hopefully Hillary. Let me just ask you one more thing, Assemblywoman Sumter. It seems to me, and I've read a lot and heard a lot, on the Democratic side, that in Mayor de Blasio in particular, who used to work for Hillary Clinton, wasn't running up to the plate to take a swing for Hillary. I think he's kind of backed up a little bit. So let me ask you, has the New Jersey delegation, the New Jersey Democratic Committee or State Democratic State Committee, have you gotten behind Hillary Clinton, or are you in the process are you still on the fence with that?
Sure. We're not on the fence. I know that they are organizing. I know that the state Democratic chairman, John Curry, who you also know, is very good friends with Senator Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and has been in discussions with her team. They're starting to organize. New Jersey is one of the late primary states. So we're looking forward to hearing what the message will be, because right now it's just about getting exposure out for Hillary at this point.
Okay, good. Yeah, because it hasn't been, it's been kind of lukewarm with the response from the Democratic Party. In my estimation, from what I've heard and read and, I eat, drink, and sleep this stuff, and everybody's not, flocking to Hillary world.
I think that everybody assumes that Secretary Clinton is the presumptive nominee. Is the question is, will there be someone out of the woodworks, out of these other candidates that could make it? Remember, 8 years ago, she was the presumptive nominee, and out of nowhere came Senator Barack Obama. So, anything can happen in American politics. So, though. I think
there's no Barack Obama this time, brother.
I have to agree with the mayor, because I remember being, one of five Democrats in the state county supporting Senator then Barack Obama.
I was one of the Democrats too. So, anything can happen in American politics. I think she has been more deliberate in rolling out her campaign, more thoughtful. I think Mayor de Blasio was just pushing the anti-poverty agenda, more progressive agenda, so to try to shape where she goes. There were some people trying to get Elizabeth Warren to jump in the race to push that piece. So I think she's being thoughtful about what the big umbrella of the Democratic Party represents. And so I think she's going to shape a platform that tries to appeal to the broad spectrum of the Democratic. And I think presidential campaigns, and Ron, you talked about the heart and soul of the Republican Party, how it has no room for growth because they have no heart and soul, right? But they don't even appeal to the various demographics as America evolves. And so we have to do that, too. The base of the Democratic Party has always been the least of these. And Bill Clinton was one of those who actually brought the solid middle class back to the party from the Republicans. We don't want to lose the base of our cities, of our labor unions, and all of that. That becomes important to putting together the Democratic Party.
I think that Hillary is like the – Hillary Clinton is like the Christmas present, but you already know what's inside. And that's probably one of the reasons why Hillary's not going to have the groundswell of support. She's been around a long time. And again, Barack Obama's only come around once in a lifetime. And that we're never going to see another one, at least not while we're alive.
I hope you're wrong.
That's right, Governor. Tell
him. I hope you are wrong. I do know that, you know, it's the untapped leaders that we're looking for. Folks aren't looking for picks or, as usual, Washington. Our congressional and Senate leaders have the lowest approval rating than any time in history. Hillary Clinton, despite what you may say, is the most credentialed candidate we've ever seen for president.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
In either party, and she still has a 45% approval rating without even having started a campaign yet. So I do think as things unfold, the nice thing is that her attacks are coming early, that the Republican field has 20-plus candidates in it now. I do think that they will eat themselves alive because they're not inclusive. They do not want to move into a progressive era, and time has passed them by. So I think all of that bodes well for our future. And we'll hear what her politics are, what her agenda will be. And really, as this country, our president has done a wonderful job, and he probably won't get the credit until he comes out of office and returning our economy to some semblance of an economy versus the second Great Depression, if you will. The war in Iraq, he's done a stellar job. They just have not given him his due. So I do think it's going to come down to what the politics of today and tomorrow will be, because you can't keep attacking right now what the Republicans are saying. We just want to undo everything that our president has done.
Which they're not going to be able to do. I think that the one thing, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago about the GOP probably not ever getting back in the White House, is because they've lost touch with the American people. We're living in a different time now. This isn't the Leave It to Beaver and, you know, father knows best. I mean, it's not that time anymore. It's 2015. You have transgender people. You know, Republicans are anti everything, abortion, transgender, I mean, LGBT community. Immigration. And see, these are things Hillary Clinton's going to seize upon. As a matter of fact, she already has endorsed a pathway to citizenship. And we all know the GOP will never, I mean, unless their backs are to the wall and they fake the funk, they'll never go along with path to citizenship. So I think Hillary Clinton right there scored a major point in adopting path to citizenship, Assemblywoman something.
I do agree with that. Our other piece that we need to look at as well is how we get control of the House back, because, again, a president can be stronger and the country can be on better footing if it had, you know, House majorities, and that's something else that we forget about. I do think it's going to be a ripple effect, if you will, if this Congress and the Senate continues to act as if it doesn't have a conscience or a people to be responsible for, we're going to see it at the poll.
Right. And I think that Hillary Clinton hopefully will have some serious coattails to pull in, to get things back where they should be, because there will be another election. I believe there'll be a congressional election along with the presidential election. I believe. Yeah, there will be. Okay. But we'll hope that the coattails or the dress hem, of the pantsuit or whatever Hillary Clinton will be enough to pull everybody along, hopefully. All right, let's get you Sunny Woman something. Now let's talk about the budget, not the budget cuts, but the spending cuts that you were very vocal about that took place, I believe, in New Jersey, in the government of New Jersey. There was some budget cuts that you were quite incensed about. Talk about that. Fill us on what that was about.
Sure. In the city of Patterson, we are a state-operated school district. Our fiscal management has been monitored by the state of New Jersey administration for over 20-plus years, 24. And we had a $46 million surplus last year. This year, we were down to $26 million. And for next year, school year, they're talking about 300 layoffs because there is a budget shortfall. So the question I have was a very basic question to the state, to the Department of Education, is what happened to the $46 million surplus? That's simple.
Well, you know, Assemblywoman Sumter, one thing I've noticed is I've checked it out, and also Mayor Wayne Smith, that the Board of Education is top heavy. You have, you know, the assistants. You have 50 assistants, you know, and they're all making serious money. And it's just kind of like a gratitude. I mean, you know, gratitude mill, if you will, for lack of a better word, because people get appointed and they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and then the assistant to that assistant to that assistant, and it's just a lot of redundancy, and people are getting major bucks for doing it. I don't know if either of you have looked into that, but I certainly have, and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And we're asking, the question. I'm asking the question as a state representative. One, because we've had a bunch of hearings where the Department of Education came before us. There was no fire alarm pulled, stating that there was a budget crisis. Two, and that was 2 months ago, I met with the superintendent on several occasions, no fire alarm about a shortfall of funding. We don't know the facts on how many positions have been implemented in that time span between last year and this year, so we're waiting for that information. How many, we call them consultants, but they may be under programs and services for the park testing, professional development of teachers, all of these other ancillary contracts that are in play. If you have a budget shortfall, those are the first things to go. And Mayor Smith, you've been a mayor. You've also worked with business enterprises. You know, you start with the top heavy. Wherever there's a duplicate of services, you remove those before you move to direct services. We started with a layoff of teachers, classroom, instructional aides. So we're running the risk of potential lawsuits for not providing the students with their individual education plan. So I just don't understand how you, one, move from a surplus to, two, move to cuts of direct services versus administration, like you mentioned, Ron, or consultants or programs and services that are contracted outside of the district.
Right, and if there's less people on the bottom, why do we need so many people at the top? And, you know, maybe if they knocked off a couple of those assistants to the assistant to the assistant, there might be a couple million dollars freed up to keep the people who we really need.
And my push is to have that honest conversation. Patterson, since 2008, as far as I can dig back, has never paid what it's owed, one, in taxes, because we just don't have the ratables. We have 24,000 homeowners who pay into the taxes. We have paid 44% in taxes in the past 5 years. Forget a 2% cap. There's no more to tax. You can't get blood from a stone. So state has never fully funded the Patterson Public Schools. So, again, how do you have cuts and you've never been fully funded? And if you're going to have cuts, if you tell me, you know, Assemblywoman, these cuts need to happen because there's a shortfall here. Our state budget is short. We know that. Sidebar. Our state funds have been mismanaged, pension payments haven't been made, program services haven't been funded, but yet you're still operating our school district. There's something wrong.
And if you're going to take over something, I mean, you're going to have to cough up the money to pay for it. And
exactly.
They've been controlling of the Patterson district and a number of other districts for years. And Ron, your argument that you make is the argument they made when they took over these districts. They were supposed to come in and be more fiscally prudent, but it hasn't worked. And I'm going to tell you, it is not an easy chore to run these school districts without appropriate staff. But I really think, Assemblywoman, that this is part of Christie's agenda. He gets back at the teachers' union because he whacks the classroom. He hits a district that is not going to be a Republican-leaning district. And so he actually uses the public purse to weaken the politics of his opposition or his party's opposition. They're very deliberate and thoughtful about this kind of stuff.
Mayor, I could not disagree with you more. My only heartbreaking reality is that it's impacting our children.
Yeah.
That's my heartbreaking
absolutely.
Reality.
So that may force you into the governor's race, possibly, huh?
And we're gonna hold it right there. We're gonna talk about that. You know, she hoped I was wrong and she disagreed with you, so now I don't feel so bad. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll come back in just a moment. And we'll talk about that, Mayor Wayne Smith. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the there being a Governor Sumter in Drumthwacket. That's the name of the mansion. Drumthwacket.
So
please, Governor Sumter, please change that name. We'll come back. we'll take a break. We'll come right back with the Assemblywoman from the 35th District, Democrat Shavonna Sumter, great state of New Jersey. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with her and Mayor Wayne Smith and yours truly in just a second. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Absolutely. It's the Ron Kelly Show. TheRonKellyShow.com is the official website of Ron Kelly Show. Go over there and check it out. Ron Kelly Show merchandise, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot going on there. Do drop in and check it out. You can find Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. The Ron Kelly Show is also on Twitter, Instagram. I haven't gone over to Pinterest yet. I'm trying to keep it simple. So I think that's enough right there. Anyway, Mayor Wayne Smith is here, and we're speaking to 35th District Assemblywoman Shavonna Sumter, Democrat from New Jersey. And I think there's another congratulations to a Grand Marshal Assemblywoman Shavonna Sumter. Congratulations once again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's an exciting time. I'm excited. We're going to celebrate our heritage in Juneteenth on June 20th in the city of Patterson. So very excited.
Yeah, I got a call. I got a message. Someone mentioned that. I got a message that they want the R to participate. We've been on the grind. Now that the show started out in Patterson, it's not in Patterson anymore. It started out there. And I did get a message that someone wanted me to. They want me to do something at the park. We'll see. Maybe I'll be out there too. Anyway, everybody.
You need to be there.
I'm there, Assemblywoman. Whatever they need me to do, I'm there. Except for driving through the city.
Okay.
I don't want to be in a procession, but anything else they want me to do, I'll do it. Everybody, it's Ron Kelly Show. It's Friday. It's 6 o'clock every Friday Friday afternoon at 6 o'clock. Myself, Mayor Wayne Smith, and the rest of the crew is Ron Kelly Show. It's on blogtalkradio.com for the moment. There's a possibility now that we'll be moving to HamiltonRadio.net. So you guys will keep you posted on that. Okay, Governor. Assemblywoman Sumter. I'm sure most politicians, I don't want to call you a politician. most office holders, I'll put it like that, do have, you know, like anybody else, you want to step the ladder a little bit. So did you have any, what aspirations did you have before this? I mean, did you have any other aspirations possibly moving up in the...
My aspirations have always been consistent, is to serve the people. My professional
Besides
life.
That, right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I do. And I will say Assembly was my first public office that I've held. However, I've worked campaigns for, you know, mayor, school board, freeholder, council, always have been active because I do believe that politics play a critical role in our society. My intent right now is to continue to run for my assembly race, make sure that I'm elected for a third term, continue to raise awareness, ask the tough questions, make sure that not only we maintain a middle class, but yet we pull some people into the middle class. Right now we keep cutting us at the knees, and let alone that our programs and services are there. We're still third from the bottom in the country as far as the economic recovery. So we're not better off. And we have policies or a governor that has been absent for over 200 days of the year. And now you know he's on a presidential campaign. And we need attention. So it's hard for me to sit back and say that I'm not going to do anything further when I see the everyday faces of folks who are working hard, doing the best that they can, and the administration, executive office of this state of New Jersey is not providing the services and the resources that they should at an optimum for the people who are paying the taxes in this state.
What are your views? Let's say, you know, Governor Sumter's first day in office. But depending on if the situation is as it is now, because we never know what's it going to be like at that time, there may be a whole different set of circumstances other than the ones that are here today. But Governor Sumter's first day in office would be what?
Well, I have not gotten that far just yet because, again, my focus has been on this assembly race and the job that we need to do because we're still passing laws at this point and right now.
Humor me, Assemblywoman. All right. Okay, humor me, Assemblywoman. Humor me. I understand that you're dedicated to the day and, you know, and there's things. And matter of fact, all right, here's a better question. There are some, Mayor Wayne, you can jump in at any time. I understand there's some bills, some social justice bills that are floating around, for lack of a better phrase, in the assembly. Do you know who the sponsors are and what, if you're familiar with them, do you know who the sponsors are and what exactly are in those bills?
Well, there's a couple. I'm actually a prime sponsor of one, a juvenile justice reform bill that is looking to give our juveniles rights. Right now, if they can be reprimanded to an adult court without representation, I don't know if you realize that, as early as age 14, and we know that that can benefit no one. Their cognitive development is not even there to be in an adult prison. So we raise that age. The bill proposes to raise that age to 16, which just passed the Law and Public Safety Committee this past Monday. We're also doing some reforms with what the charges are that would elevate the charges to an adult court and also entitle them to representation, most important, and being informed. Then we have some bills on social economic justice, another piece where we're calling on corporations to have a social responsibility to the economy, to set aside funds for training, for programs, for enterprising. So we have a number of different bills that are before us. We're hoping, again, that the executive office will be supportive of it. I know for the juvenile justice bill, it's been worked on for 2 years, my full term, just to get it underway and to meet with all the stakeholders, prosecutors, judges, attorney general's office. So we're working very hard. When I draft legislation and when I'm looking for reforms, I make sure that we vet it, that we meet with all stakeholders, and that's my process, Mayor Smith. that's the only way I know how to work, and I know that's something that you did very well is when you were mayor.
Yep. So, Savon, can we assume that because of the drastic budget cuts at the district that one of the political options you might weigh and let the public know is running for governor, so that all those who are interested, including yourself, running for governor, will have to address the Patterson School District?
Mayor, you know it, and you know that that's part of the plan. We got to elevate our conversation
right.
from just being about a money talk of who has the most money to win an election
Absolutely.
To what's the real social issue.
Absolutely.
It doesn't just impact urban areas. When you
right.
go to Salem County, Ocean County, they have poverty as well. So
Absolutely.
We really
Cumberland County
mindful.
Is probably the poorest county.
Exactly. But we don't, you know, we're north those realities as much because we're living in our own reality.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be conscious of it as a state. And I will tell you that those members are conscious of it, and including Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
So our issues are great. So I don't think any person saying they want to be governor can take it lightly just because we have a lot of work to do and the budget is not going to look any better.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And the pension issues have not yet to be dealt with, right?
The pension issues, we actually, as an assembly, have filed a brief in court supporting the constitutionality of the law that this governor proposed and signed to fund and make the payment for the pension. So we don't know. We know that it will be painful, and we knew it would be painful.
Right.
The revenues that he projected would come into play have
mm-hmm.
never materialized. This governor has never respected the numbers that OLS has proposed. So, you know, you can't keep lying because it catches up to you. The truth catches up to you. And right now we're in that truth situation.
Mm-hmm.
So Assemblywoman Sumter, Governor Christie, not just his presidential aspirations are already circling the bowl, so to speak, but I don't see him winning the governorship, the governor's mansion again. You know, as a matter of fact,
there
are lots of proposals. No, he
term.
Can't. Well, he's done his two. Okay, so he can't. Well, thank you. Thank goodness for that, because he's going to lose anyway. Because he was asked 65% of New Jerseyans were asked. Whether Governor Christie would make a good president, and they all and a large majority of them said no. And President, why am I? Now I hope there's not a Freudian slip. And Governor Christie has said that the people want him to come back. That's why they're blasting him as governor, which I thought was so ridiculous.
I just don't see the truth. Well, I do think that he has some blinders on. I do know that Monmouth is supposed to do another poll just to refute that statement to see if there's any truth, because, you know, this governor has his own truth.
Yeah, his truth is not our truth. And, you know, and I can almost guarantee that he won't run for president. He will decide not to run for president.
Right.
You know, he'll realize that truth, I believe.
The unfortunate part is that means we're left with them.
Yeah, until what is it, 2017?
Until 2017.
Well, okay. Well, we'll just have to, you know, well, hopefully
we
can patch up.
We have to knock it out and keep raising
the
issues.
Well, maybe he can fix up some of the issues. Or maybe he can repair some of the gaping holes in the budget that he's ripped apart. Robin Peter to pay Paul. So let me ask you this, Assemblywoman Sumter, we've got a few minutes left, and I know you've got a 7 o'clock appointment. So, all right, so what's on the agenda for the Democratic Party leading up to 2017, besides, you know, some of the bills that are already on the table and some of the other things that the Democrats are doing? What's on the agenda? Are we looking at 2017 and what the possibilities are, Assemblywoman Sumter?
Sure. We're looking at right now, because we have the entire assembly off. So we're not only looking to get a majority, but we're looking to get a veto majority. So that takes work on our end. We are looking at a paid sick leave legislation that we need to go through so that working families don't have to go to work while sick and can have some quality health care. We're looking at restoring a number of funding to different health care programs. So we have an aggressive agenda. We're talking about how we come up with a reasonable pension payments, but no, we're not letting this governor off the hook. We're also talking about casinos in northern New Jersey so that we can be competitive. So we have a very aggressive agenda. The social agenda includes coming up with employment opportunities for persons who have a record, how to clean up the expungements better. So we're really, really aggressive. The state party has been working on unity of north, south, and central, and Chairman Curry has been doing a great job of that. We've also been working closely with local elected officials because we think it's important that they're engaged as well in the state party and that we support them. But with that said, before I get in trouble, because my son, Kenneth Sumter, is listening in, so I needed to just give him a shout-out. So right now, Kenneth Sumter, you have your shout-out.
All right. Little Sumter. How old is he?
He is 15.
Oh, he's old. Anyway.
He's calling me. You got to laugh from him.
All right. Shout-out to the young Sumter. Shout-out to you. And thank you so much, Assemblywoman Sumter, for stopping in. See, Mayor Wayne, my guests actually called. You see what I'm saying? My people, when I ask someone to call in, they actually call in. They don't take the bus. They don't go somewhere else. You know, my guests call in, and we can always depend on Assemblywoman Sumter. We can always and everybody else that I ask, they call. They don't, you know. Oh, I'm sorry. No, they call. They actually call.
And thank you for allowing me to at least put the issues on the table. And Mayor Smith, you know nothing but love and respect for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
We know you're perfect.
From the Assemblywoman.
It's good to have you on the program. It's good to have you fighting for what's right and fighting for the citizens that you represent in the 35th District. We're very fortunate to have you there. You're a very knowledgeable person. You know what you're doing down there. As far as I'm concerned, we're in very good hands.
Right.
We got nothing to worry about because we know you're going to do what needs to be done.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Assemblywoman Sumter. Thank you. And thank you for calling. And 2017, we got you. Okay, we got you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you
both. I'll be on
all
the front.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Assemblywoman.
Two hot minutes, Ron.
You got a minute left, Mayor Wayne. What do you got to say? I know you got.
No, good. We just got 2 hot minutes. That's all.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes. All right, everybody. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show featuring Mayor Wayne Smith. I'm just messing with you, Mayor Wayne. I know you. That was the first one. You know.
Yeah, Larry. I just knew Larry came on the show, but I'll get him.
No, yeah. Do get him. Get him for me, too.
I mean, that's for the show. I'm going to get him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just get him, period. No, it does happen. I've been doing this radio business for a long time. And it doesn't happen as much as it used to, but it still does happen every now and then. But we appreciate you, man.
I was
going
to be at that time.
No. We appreciate you did what you did. You know, happy birthday. I don't know what's your birthday, happy birthday.
Yeah, I'm an old guy now. What can I tell you?
Yeah, I'm not as happy about birthdays anymore as I used to be either. You know, it's like, oh, well, I don't even say that most of the time. Everybody forgets, okay, fine. I forgot to. you know. Anyway, everybody, thank you for joining us this afternoon. We'll see you back here for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show featuring Mayor Wayne Smith, Irvington, New Jersey, and also the CEO and president of Wayne Smith Associates. Everybody, look them up. Look, Mayor Wayne, it's Mayor Wayne's consulting firm. And look him up, call him up, and I'm sure that if he can give you what you need, he can direct you to somebody who can. I doubt that very seriously. He can't give you what you need. All right, bye. We're going to break out of here. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're right.
80 degrees tomorrow, 80 degrees Sunday. I think I'm going to take my bike out for, I think I'll take my cruiser out for a spin.
since the weather's going to be nice, Mayor Wayne. So, all right, buddy. All right, brother. 10 seconds. All right, we're out of here, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you back here again next week. And we'll see you back here next week. All right, mate. Take care. We are out of here.